Hang on 1 second. Hang on 1 second. I'm just working on something. Yeah, that's why. Okay. Hey, John.
Hey there.
You can probably see me. Alright, that's going off. We're going to do some recording of this just for the, we got this new system. We can just post these on Twitters. So,
I couldn't hear you.
We have the recording. See, the TV's on, the camera's on, right? See, hello?
What are you doing that for?
I'm just going to record it because somebody in my office is clipping these up and putting them on Twitter. Just little clips, little 15 second clips. So don't worry about it. I know your camera's not on, but we will have something going on. Just a test thing. It's been fun. Let me just here. But you can't see you because you don't have a camera on.
I don't have a camera hooked up on this machine.
It's fine. It's all good. I'm just going to push the record button and just
give me a heads up on this one of these days. I could probably do something.
Well, we're just starting it. So let's just see what happens right now. Right now, we're just going to leave it with this, and then we got to go. Let me see. Alt F1, Alt F2. F2, you like that? Alt F1. Okay. Actually, we're going to do Alt F2.
So that's where you got the jokes written in here.
What jokes?
You'll see.
I don't even know the jokes that I got written. Okay. All right. Let's go. Let me just get everything going here. And let's push this on record. Or we'll just do that. Towards this computer.
Recording in progress.
Okay. Here we go.
Hello and welcome to Dvorak Horowitz Unplugged, an hour-long discussion of activity in the financial markets around the world, featuring columnist John C. Dvorak and money manager Andrew Horowitz. This conversation is casual and unrehearsed. Let's join John and Andrew now.
I'm John C. Dvorak.
And I'm Andrew Horowitz.
And it's the 26th of May, 2026.
26th of May, 2026, last show of the month.
26.
There's a 5 month. I think there's a 5 banger. Was it 5 or 4?
I don't know. I don't have the calendar open.
26. That would have to be, if we had 5, it'd have to be 30, so it can't be. It'd be 5, it'd be...
It was plenty.
Plenty. It's enough already. It's enough. Let's be honest. Well, lots to talk about. New highs in some of the markets again. And oil dropping, still the highest level of the cost for fuel, for gasoline on Memorial Day in a number of years. So that was, I think, a big initiative to try to bring oil prices down a little bit over the weekend, but unfortunately...
Too late.
We got that going on. Consumer sentiment drops again to an all-time low. We'll talk about that. But remember something you and I talked about recently was the whole idea that the consumer sentiment numbers may not be speaking the same language as consumers because there's different consumer sentiment indicators that are out. We had one of them that was the one we're going to talk about that came out again, but there was also one from the conference board that had a much different reading and it set a much different picture of the consumer. New fertilizer is coming. I don't know if you're excited. Did you see the, I figured this show we're going to have always something a little silly as the title, but Did you see the clip art, the whatever, the graphics for the show?
Mm-hmm.
Did you like that one?
It's cute.
It's getting better. The AI generated stuff is getting better. Still not perfect by a long shot, but it's not that muddy brown stuff anymore.
No, that's a plus. Yeah, yeah, you're getting there. You're getting close. You're almost functional.
And everybody, I don't know about you, but everybody is talking about SpaceX. Who's not?
I'm not. What? I'm not talking.
Why aren't you talking about SpaceX? Everybody else is talking about SpaceX.
I don't. It's not. What's new?
Well, new is now
there was an IPO. I understand.
There's an IPO,
big one,
a whopper. But there's also discussion just tonight, which I don't even think I put in our show notes. That no, it may have, but they're talking about possibly, which you and I broke this story a long time ago, absorbing Tesla into SpaceX.
Yeah, I know. Make it one giant company.
Why don't they call it? Let's call it Musk, Empire Musk.
Musk Core.
Why not just that? You know what? Not only that. Hang on a second. Is there a Musk? Is there a symbol for Musk?
Yeah, M-U-S-K.
No, but is there a stock? I'm looking it up.
Well, I don't know. Let's look.
Nope. You know that's next.
Yeah, it's got to be.
It's got to be next.
M-U-S-K.
Right?
Yeah.
M-U-S-K, and that will be the empire that will be...
Musk.
Yeah, that'd be great. So... So that's going on. This talk about that. And that was something you and I talked about, the idea that maybe it's possible that one of the things that's going to happen is that there's going to be a, that Musk may be holding down the price of Tesla in, remember we talked about this?
Yeah.
Because he would want to absorb the stock at a lower price and bring it, not privatize it because SpaceX will be public at the time, but at least somehow get it into...
Give himself a good deal.
Yeah, better deal. Why not? Go. All right, Marcus, nothing really matters. Anyone can see. That's from a line from a famous song. You know who that is? Nothing really matters.
No, actually.
Anyone can see. That's from a Queen song at the end of Bohemian Rhapsody.
Oh, Queen.
Yeah. But anyway, new highs. Government's picking the winners again. Wow. What we saw last week was pretty amazing. And something that you and I have talked about before, and something that you have been, by the way, I'm just teasing this pretty well, that you have been, I would say, a very big naysayer upon.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not wrong, but they're pumping billions of dollars into this.
But I'm not right yet.
Well, but they're pumping billions of dollars into this particular sector, and everybody's just all excited about it. So that's that. Chips are making a big move, I think, tonight at the open of the KOSPI, the Korean stock market. It was a big night because I believe SK Hynix has brought that up tremendously, and now is, I think it's a $1 trillion market cap company. So a lot of trillionaires being made recently.
Crazy.
We skipped right through. I mean, it was millionaire. It was like billionaire. Trillionaire. Right. Just right through. And pretty amazing what's going on there. But there's a lot
I remember the days when there was like maybe 10 total billionaires in the world.
Yeah, there's a lot more now.
Yeah, I'd say.
And being a millionaire is like, yeah. Because you could be technically a millionaire by just being brought, you could have bought a property in some areas around the country, I don't know, let's say 2019, 2017, for a few hundred thousand dollars that's worth well over $1.5 million now, right? And that would theoretically make you a millionaire because you have the value
of anybody could do that.
I mean, come on, big deal being a millionaire. Slouch. Yeah. Right. What was it? Slacker. Big slacker. Only got 1 million? Oh, come on. Terrible to think about it that way, because if you really dig down on it right now with all the crazy price of food and stuff, it's kind of terrifying, actually, if you think about it. If you just kept your money in a common savings plan of some sort, and this inflation over the last 10 years has just passed you by so quickly that it's very difficult to even go out and buy like movie tickets or, I saw a sign today that was all exciting. It was like, hey, come on over. We got $5 cans of beers. $5 cans of beers.
Wow, that's a jip.
Wasn't it? Didn't we just have $5 for like a five pack of beers?
Six pack.
Yeah, but I'm saying like you'd have, you know, five for five or something like that. Like that would be the
dollar a beer would be that was high.
That's crazy. And I'm telling you, go right now to buy beers and you look at the prices and the cans are small, the bottles are smaller, the cases are smaller. It used to be a 24 pack, now they have 18s and smaller size. It's like, drink these. You know why you want them? Because they don't get as warm. The bigger ones get warm. The smaller ones, they stay cold towards the end. They're trying to convince you that it's a smaller amount, therefore it stays colder longer. Or it stays colder, it doesn't get warm because you can't finish it like the other ones, you know? So stupid. Anyway, over the weekend, Jensen Huang from NVIDIA, he said that he was forecasting a $200 billion market for CPUs, including China. So this whole discussion, because this came out on Wednesday. And Wednesday, there was an earnings call, of course, for NVIDIA. I mean, it was mediocre. It was great numbers, but the outlook disappointed. That was a big issue. And the outlook disappointed, causing a bit of a problem for the stock, and it came down a bit. Nothing terrible. I mean, the fact is that it was just down a little bit. People were still thinking that it's going to be great because the numbers were great, and maybe we'll see. But inside of that discussion, there was this further discussion about the outlook. And he had to come out and clarify the next week that said that there's no reason for anyone to sell the stock because we believe that this is going to be inclusive and we are going to be selling into there and we're going to have this in the future because this is a big market for them. So while NVIDIA, though, it received licenses to sell the H200 chip into China, China's like, no thanks. We're doing our own thing now. So the idea we were holding back the AI screaming superpower from them through chip sales really didn't work out so well, in my opinion. You know, I think it caused them, if you think about it, we almost forced them to make their own chips, right? I think it backfired a little bit. What do you think?
Well, yeah, and we don't want them to start making chips because they might get the hang of it.
Yeah, but they're doing it.
Well, yeah, but they're not doing anything. You're talking about China.
China, yeah.
Yeah. They're not doing anything special. They're not competing with TSMC.
Right. But what they are doing is there's a lot of diversion going on, and they're getting the chips anyway.
Yeah, of course. That's the better idea.
Yeah, better idea is to do it illegally.
I mean, they just Huawei just came up with a paper that just released at one of the big chip conferences that has a new methodology for increasing the transistor count virtually using some new technique that would be frightening in terms of somebody getting the hang of it. The Chinese aren't stupid. That's the thing we keep kind of ignoring.
Right.
We think they copy everything, but they can create.
Let's see if I could do this here. We're going to do this because we're video recording. Let's check out some of the things here when it comes to consumers. Check this out. You can see this probably. This is the consumer screen that we're looking at right now. We'll get this in 1 second up on here. But basically, consumers' sentiment has tumbled to a fresh record low as fears of higher prices grow due to the U.S.-Iran war, elevated price levels. This is the University of Michigan. Now, remember, we talked about this, that they are really focused on the idea that particular study is focused on the idea of inflation. So the index that they measure dropped to about 44.8.
Yeah. We were talking about how low it was last week.
Right. It was 48 before. Check this out. Look at this number. This is a chart of the actual consumer sentiment back to 2016. Now, we know, of course, that little sliver of gray line where we see the recession, right? The recession area right here. Fact of the matter is that came down because that was COVID. I mean, people were freaked out. People were upset. It was down to 71 during COVID when you didn't know if you were going to live or die, right? You didn't know if you were ever going to have a job again. You didn't know if you could have any money or if the world was going to be here tomorrow. Consumer sentiment dropped to 71.8. Absolute chaos. We're at 44.8 now. That's startling.
It sounds like this number sounds wrong.
Sounds wrong, especially if you look that it really, you know, peaked back up dramatically and for one time got above just only the COVID level. So it went down to 71.8, then back up to 88.3 on April 1st, 2021. But it never got back up to where it was in the $100 range. People started freaking out. It was all sorts of problems, big issues. But then it came back up somewhere around, 2024 or so to 79.4. So, yes, I think there is a point is, I think when we look at this and we bring the data together, John, that you and I talked about the University of Michigan numbers are slanted more towards inflation, something else that seems a little bit preposterous. We have to take this, I believe, now with a grain of salt, especially due to the fact that if we add back into it stock market highs and retail sales doing just fine, I think we have to say that this is a piece of the puzzle that has to be relegated to a smaller part than it was ever before.
Well, it's also possible that since COVID, their methodology has gone off the rails. It's possible that these numbers are just completely bogus. This does happen.
Are you saying that the consumer themselves, what's the reason for that? Is it because the company themselves are doing something, I don't know.
They're talking to the wrong people, they got the wrong sample size, they got the something. If somebody started doing some analysis of this, because it doesn't make any sense, it's quite likely that their methodology is something. It happened to the methodology that is giving bad results.
Mm-hmm. How about this?
This is a bad result. There is no evidence that consumer confidence is actually 44.8 based on the same number that gave us 101 back before COVID.
How about this for a theory? The only people that would actually be doing these kinds of surveys are the miserable people that are sitting back in their house with nothing to do all day and, you know, figure, what the hell, I'll do a survey and make a couple $100 out of it.
Statisticians tend to weed those people out.
Well, maybe they're not doing it. That's the point. They're not doing as good of a job.
That's possible. They're not weeding them out. That's what I'm thinking. Something has happened that is off the rails. This is wrong.
Right.
And they better get their act together.
Yep. Let's go to South Korea. A lot of charts, a lot of things to look at. You can go over and see all these on episode number. What are we on? What episode do we have? 804. Episode number 804 over on the, where are we at? DHUnplugged.com. DHUnplugged.com. And on that, by the way, a great thing to talk about right now is the, I don't know what it is. Maybe consumers are pissed off. You know, donors are definitely pissed off. Donors.
Yeah.
Donor sentiment is low.
Yeah, donor sentiment is low. Well, maybe, yeah. There's a lot of different possibilities there of why that could be.
They're not tired of us because our numbers are up really well. Numbers are good, strong. People like us. But the fact is they're just not digging down deep. Maybe you don't have.
Cashing in on these great stock tips.
I don't know. Some people are writing me. They say, you know, thank you so much. This is great. I would say that people are just, you know, tired. They're just, you know, not willing to click a few more buttons. Listen, go over to DHUnplugged.com and help out the show. The reason you help out the show is that you're helping yourself. You're helping the others out there. You're doing something. You're passing it along. You're kind of giving to get. The fact of the matter is that when you donate to the show, it goes into the hard workers that are being paid by us, by the way, to bring you these productions, to do things like work the website, to work the servers, to pay for the servers, the lines, all the things that we're doing here. And we need you. Let's not beat around the bush, John. We need him, right? And
it would be nice to have some notice of appreciation.
Yeah, exactly. Makes us feel good too. So go over to dhunplugged.com and make sure to click on the donate button and give.
Yeah, this chart. Yeah, people should think about it.
Let's go to the next thing. South Korea, the Cosby.
Yeah, this chart. Oof. This looks exactly. You know what this chart looks like?
What's that?
It looks like the 1929 stock market crash.
Upside down? Or about to happen?
No, not the crash, the run up.
Oh, yeah. This is the Cosby. This is back
to. You have to remember that the Dow.
Yeah.
In about a 4-month period before the stock market crash. And this is what is we're looking at here. This is like tripling.
It is pretty unbelievable that I would say that it stayed relatively status quo from 2010 all the way through 2020.
This is not right.
And then what happened was, now we have to appreciate a couple things.
I would say that this is, whole thing is slanted towards Samsung's memory business. Yeah, okay, that makes some sense, but
yeah, so
it's
it
not
is.
Supposed to.
Well, Samsung and SK Hynix now hold a 40% position of the Kospi, which is absurd. Yeah, I remember when Brazil, when you had okay, drawing a blank. The Brazil's energy company, the offshore drilling.
I know what it is too, and I can't think of it.
Anyway, there was like a 30% of that company was the Brazilian stock market if you were investing in it. Made no sense. Made no sense at all. And you got the same situation here. This run up that you have. I mean, again, this flat line from 2010. All the way through 2020, let's say, and then really this year going from about 2,800 up to 8,000 over the last year and a half.
Yeah.
Which is unbelievable. Petrobras. You know, when you don't think of something, you get it.
You know, they have the, I know that's how it works. The I've been to Brazil a lot, and their gas stations are fascinating because they have the pumps they have, you know, besides the three kinds of pumps that we normally have, they also have pumps for natural gas. They have pumps for ethanol. They have pumps for they got pumps for all kinds of crazy pumps that you can, whatever your car runs on, you can find it at one of these gas stations.
Yeah. But this is the same kind of thing where the concentration, now this is a risk you have when, and it's a rarity, but it can't happen. And that's the risk you have with the way the methodology and the constitution of these indices are now with regard to market cap weighted. And if you think about the possibility of how this works with companies buying back their shares and the process of pumping up the stock and doing share splits and all this, and then, you know, raising the value. Now you say, well, a lot of companies could do that. Of course they can. But then you have on top of that the things that are going on right now, the perfect storm for technology, and why in our markets the QQQ is dominated by, you know, seven different names that take up about 40-50% of our market itself also. The only thing that's going to be a problem, it's not a problem until it's a problem, right? It's fine right now. You know, everybody's happy. The Kospi, if you look at, wait till you look at the game. Because don't forget, I picked the Korean stock market once the bottom hit. And I said, you know what? If gas prices come down a little bit, if the Straits of Hormuz open, and if things get a little bit resolved, Korea is going to be off the charts. And I was right and wrong at the same time. I was right about Korea going off the charts. It wasn't because...
All the wrong reasons.
Which, there's a lesson in there somewhere, isn't there?
Yeah, it's like an old lady. They can pull that stunt all the time.
Yeah, thanks. Anyway.
No, well, no offense, but women are notorious for picking stocks skyrocket.
What was the name of those ladies that got together? The Beardstown ladies? Was that? No. Is that it was? Beardstown ladies? Stock club?
Yeah, something. I can't remember.
And it was all the rage? And what happened to them? Just a second here. I got to look this up. Hang on a second. I want to look at this up here. The beard. What happened to the Beardstown ladies? This is a stock club of elderly women that was actually going. So let's see. There's still an active investment club in Beardstown, Illinois. No longer in the global spotlight, the club continues to meet monthly. 75% of the members are descendants of the original founders. But they rose to global fame in the 1990s. It was 1983 as part of a local business. They wrote a best-selling book and promoted a simple homespun buy-and-hold strategy. They claim to have an astronomical 23.5% return on an annual basis, beating Wall Street's finest. Then, in 1998, there was a mathematical scandal. In 1988, their fame came to a screeching halt when outside analysts and an eventual audit by PricewaterhouseCoopers revealed that the computer formula and data entry had severely inflated their reported returns. Their actual returns over the same period? 9.1%.
That's still nothing to sneeze at.
There was a class action lawsuit against the publisher Hyperion.
Jeez, you can't even do a book nowadays?
Can't do a book. Today, the club managed a portfolio worth hundreds of thousands of dollars. So there you go. The Beardstown Ladies. I remember that. That was a fun time. Let's keep looking. Who believes this crap that's been thrown at us this week? U.S. forces have conducted defensive bombings. Gotta love this. We're going in and striking Iran saying, you know what? This ceasefire is still intact. Come on. It's funny.
It is funny.
We're protecting our troops using defensive tactics in this situation right now by bombing them. And of course, Lebanon's being bombed by Israel, and they're going to, you know, ramp that up as well. U.S. Central Command continues to defend our forces while using restraint during the ongoing ceasefire. How do they even get away? I'll ask you, is it a ceasefire or not?
No.
No. When we bomb them, we effectively break the ceasefire, don't we?
I would think. I mean, that seems logical. But if you want to call something what you want to call it, this is like, you know, don't believe your lying eyes.
I don't really understand how they even say this stuff. So, meanwhile, there's some talk over the weekend that we're close to a deal and it will happen soon.
What difference is that from them saying, we're almost close to a deal?
Yeah, well, I think this is number 19 I counted, by the way. That we're close to a deal, or we're going to blow them to smithereens. So we were on
getting old.
It's getting old. On Saturday, we were close to a deal. By late day Sunday, we were in no rush for a deal. That's how the narrative went. So neither side's agreeing on anything. We got that going up. Here's another thing I want to talk to you about. Another interesting thing I found. I thought it was interesting. Let's share the screen again because I think that was kind of cool that we could see this. So check this out. Did you know? Well, I happened upon a picture and I'm like, wow, that guy looks familiar. It was the CEO of Ford, Jim Farley. You know that name, CEO of Ford, just Jim Farley?
Yeah.
Did you know? Take a look at this picture. Striking resemblance, don't you think?
Well, there is a resemblance if you point it out.
I saw it.
I wonder if the guy's as funny.
Probably not.
As Chris.
I'm sure not.
He looks kind of funny.
He could. Let's see him do the skit. You're going to grow up in a van down by the river. Remember that one?
Yeah, vaguely.
But truth be told, he's his cousin.
Yeah.
I saw the picture. I saw him on TV. I'm like, God darn, he looks like Chris Farley. Wait, his name is Farley. Wait a second. That's too weird. I thought maybe my mind was playing tricks on me. I thought that was great. All right, what else we got here? Crops. Farmers worldwide, you know we got a big problem. The problem is that urea passes through the Straits of Hormuz, but not. Because not a lot is passing through the Straits of Hormuz. But 40% of urea. Urea is an important fertilizer, right, for crops.
Time to go back to bat guano.
But it's getting worse than bat guano. So these conventional nitrogen fertilizers are in short supply. It's a big problem. Some farmers are turning to age-old solutions like manure. Okay, we know that, right?
Bad guano.
Yeah. While other experimenting with newer technologies, including waste-based inputs and microbial products. They call it, this is like the circular bioeconomy. Do you want to have any guess? What's going on?
Well, yeah, you go to the way you eat your crap. You put the crap in the food that you eat.
This is like the, you know, this happened on Star Trek. Star Trek was a complete circuit of no waste. And when you went to the food dispensary, which was the
replicator.
The replicator. If you got, because I went to a Star Trek convention, I bought the book.
You went to a Star Trek convention?
Yes, I did. It was wow. I wasn't like all spocked up. I wasn't spocked up. I wasn't crazy, but I bought this book. My wife went with me too, by the way. Jill did go with me. And I got this book. It was, you know, the definitive.
She had to keep an eye on you.
Yeah. The definitive guide to the Star Trek Enterprise. All how things worked and all that. And the replicators were in there, and I'm reading this stuff. I'm like, where they get the stuff to make what comes out of the replicator is from the waste product of humans through the system.
Yeah, poop.
That's what's going on here. There's a whole thing that municipal wastewater and human waste and urine are being treated and provided for as nutrients that can be processed for fertilizer.
So just if like they used to do it in India.
Yeah, if your corn's a little extra yellow this summer, you know why. That's kind of gross, this whole thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
But it's happening.
Well, it is and it isn't. I mean, you know, you can make it so the stuff's safe. Is it just the heavy metals and things like that that are in waste that are the problem, it seems to me.
Should we put this up just, you know, great ingenuity in times of turmoil?
I think he's going back to the, you know, tradition.
All right. Well, when somebody says you got some really shitty vegetables there, just saying. Really? These vegetables taste like crap. Just saying. You know what I mean?
Well, some vegetables taste like crap anyway.
Yeah. I got to tell you, though, you know, tomatoes. You slice a tomato open and it can be, you know, let's call it on the green side, right? That's one possibility. Then there's that perfect tomato. You know what that looks like, right?
You get one a year.
Yeah. Then you got the overripened tomato, you know, that little mealy, just a little bit, kind of like done. But then there's another level that I've been seeing more and more frequently, as a matter of fact, twice this weekend, where it's almost like it's spotted on the inside. Have you seen these?
I don't know what that's all about.
It's like they just overripened.
It's not tomato season anyway, so I don't know what you're doing.
Tomatoes are year-round, though. You get them from somewhere. I think what's happening.
Hothouse tomatoes mostly.
Probably. But I think what's happening is that people aren't buying this stuff and it's going bad faster. Prices are absurd for vegetables and beef and meats and fish. Well,
chicken's cheap.
Chicken's cheap, but you get that extra hormone chunky stuff. Did I tell you the story that I did some experimenting with chicken recently?
No, you didn't. Here we go.
Do you want to hear it? Do you want me to?
Oh, yeah. No, I'm all ears.
So I got chicken. I got the chicken. I got the $2.99 a pound chicken, right? You know, the breasts that are like the size of a turkey breast, those chickens, you know what I'm talking about, right? And they got all that, those lines in it, those hormonal growth lines.
I've never seen this in a chicken.
You've never seen, no, yes, you have. The white lines in there?
No.
I will take a picture next time I'm in any store and send it to you. The chicken breasts have these white striations in them, like they're puckered up from something, and it's from the extra pump. It's from the hormones.
I don't know what they're selling to you guys in Florida, but we don't have stuff like that here in California.
It's no good. So I'm eating this stuff, and it tastes, when you cook it, I used a very specific.
And this is breast meat mostly.
Breast meat. I did this just as a test. I did a specific test. I did a browning in a pan on the stove. A little bit of herbs in there, a little bit of oil, a slight amount and all that. Then I put it in the oven to bake off, get it up to about 165 degrees on the inside, 160 degrees, let it cook out afterwards. Took it off, did a little bit of pan sauce on it afterwards and served it, right? Cut the chicken breasts in half usually or lengthwise to make them a little bit thinner because they're really thick. And okay, tasted like a piece of pulp.
Pulp, like paper?
Yeah, but like balsa wood.
Like wood.
Yeah, terrible. It's terrible.
Yeah, I would think.
Not juicy. So I tried a couple different ways like that. I could not get anything out of it.
Well, maybe you're buying... Where are you getting this chicken? Well, I mean, for one thing, first of all, I tend to not cook breasts. I tend to cook thighs because they're always going to be tastier.
Right.
But I have cooked breasts, and I've never run into this situation you're describing.
And listeners,
again, maybe I just have ignored it.
Maybe I will tell you. I went and got.
I would have noticed. I think pulp.
I went and I decided to get a...
Or striations. I mean, come on.
Striations are clean and clear. Anybody listening, send John a picture on Twitter. Tag him, The Real Dvorak, and tag me, Andrew Horowitz, on Twitter also. And just if you see any of those breasts with the raw breasts with the line...
They're big.
They're gigantic. They're gigantic.
Yeah, okay.
So what I did was I took a... What is it? Not Bell and Howell. Bell and... what's the name? Chicken Bell. You know the really good brand, Bell.
Are they air chilled?
Yeah, they're air chilled. Bell and Evans. I went to Bell and Evans.
I don't have that here.
You don't have any Bell and Evans?
Never heard of it.
It's a top rated.
Never heard of it. As an East Coast thing.
All right. Well, I got this. It's an air chilled. It was a breast. It was with skin on. I did the same technique, same time. Ate it. Absolutely delicious. Juicy. Well-formed, non-pulp balsa wood. Perfect. Perfect.
Okay.
Well, I'm just saying, there's something with these hormonal things, these hormonal chickens.
Well, what was the brand from the crappy chicken?
Crappy chicken brand. It was just the brand that was it was no brand. It was just the chicken. It was just the chicken in the case.
Chicken in the case.
$2.99 a pound versus $5.99 a pound, by the way.
Oh, well, yeah.
All right.
Okay, well, so you get the Bell and Evans.
Anyway, so long story short, we're using our urine and our excretion for potential fertilizer because urea is no longer there. Thank you very much for the Iranian war. Let's move on. Big government's hand is being placed once again, choosing the winners, the losers, choosing who, in fact, is going to be the king and queen of the ball. Something that you and I have talked about for a while. But this particular one was last week when the government came out and they said that, we are going to start to invest in quantum computer companies. Yeah. Billions of dollars.
Yeah.
$2 billion in grants to firms.
This is ridiculous.
Operating in this space. They give a billion.
Why don't you just go back and put some more money into Solyndra?
Well, they gave $1 billion to IBM. That stock shot up pretty well. And
yeah, I bet.
Yeah.
Free money.
Because IBM needs the money for their research, huh?
Yeah, IBM of all companies that need money.
They need money. Wait till you find out where the money came from, by the way. That's also interesting. The other ones gave, you got like chip maker Global Foundries receiving $175 million. D-Wave Quantum, Rigetti Computing, a bunch of others got about $100 million each. $100 million. $100 million.
To do what?
Think about that. Quantum computing companies, in my opinion, probably don't have a huge staff. What do you think they have? A couple hundred people? Maybe?
100 people, $1 million a head.
It's amazing, right?
It's ridiculous.
Shares of D-Wave added 33%. Rigetti was up 30%. A couple others were up 30%. Funding's coming from the 2022 Chips and Science Act. Still
Biden money.
But what's interesting about that is that there's still stimulus being pushed. This is what I think a lot of people miss. There is still a huge amount of stimulus
that
hasn't been spent from that bill. Forget about the OBA.
2022.
Yeah, forget about the OBA. And who knows what's still left over?
Why don't they just put the money back in the coffers and cut our taxes?
No. No. Can't ever give money back. That's not how it works. So it's kind of like eating a meal and then say, I don't want this other half. Thank you. Give me my money back. Doesn't work like that. I find it fascinating, though, that's, I think, the missing piece of this puzzle when people are asking, you know, why are these markets going up? Yes, of course. There's a whole grind because the corporations are giving money to the chip companies giving the money to the cloud companies, and, you know, the whole thing that we've talked about, right? I got that. But there is still
financing.
Yeah, still, but there's still so much money in the system from all of this that's going on with regard to, you know, these bills, the government.
Yeah, it's kind of COVID money.
It's unbelievable. $2 billion. How much was... let's look this up, too. Do you remember this? George Bush stimulus. Do you remember this?
Vaguely.
It was like... I think it was like $200 million. It was... let's see. Well, he did a 2000. He injected $152 billion in the economy. That was a whole big thing he did there. But there was a package before that was like $200 to $300 million. He also signed
billion.
He did $700 billion for the financial package to, you know, get us out of the failing assets. That was back in 2008, also. But there's been times that we've done $200, $300, $400 million, and everybody was excited. We're talking about one company gets $100 million now. That's just fascinating.
And yeah, you wonder, well, especially if you have stock in it.
And you wonder why there's inflation, right? Because the numbers are out of control. And do you think that a company that gets a grant from, oh, and the government, by the way, is taking stakes in these companies?
Yeah, I find that peculiar.
That's why the companies go up so much, because they realize the government's not going to let them fail at this point. And then, because they don't want another Solyndra, and they're just going to keep pumping money in left and right. It's crazy. Then you got NVIDIA buying $500 million worth of rights of Corning.
Yeah, I thought this was an interesting investment. But why are they... by the way, I'm putting Corning on the game because of this investment.
Corning pledged to increase its U.S. fiber production capability. They're talking about that the data centers need more fiber optics, and Corning has the best glass to provide that. You know, the best fiber optic glass manufacturing.
Strings.
The fibers, yeah. So... this is going to be in North Carolina and Texas. Supposedly it's going to create 3,000 new jobs. I don't know if that's going to be permanent jobs or just the jobs to create and then create the fiber optics. Well,
they'll be permanent until the market collapses.
Always the optimist.
Well, you know, it's come on.
Well, why are you putting Corning on here then?
Well, because we still have a ways to go before things shake out where all of a sudden somebody says, hey, wait a minute. It's going to take it's like, what's that game where you pull the little pegs out or you pull the little bricks out of a
building? Not Jumba, but, I know. I'll think of it. Keep talking.
Yeah. And you pull a little thing out. One of these companies is going to, this is how the .com collapse happened. One of the venture capital firms just pulled out of one investment out of the blue. Said, well, you know, this is not going to work out. We think things are overblown. And everybody took the hint. Boom. The whole thing collapsed overnight. And this is what's going to happen. One of these guys is going to say, well, you know, or there's going to be a failure in one of the IPOs, which may or may not happen. But something is going to trigger it, and it's going to be an overnight collapse.
Jenga. It's going to be Jenga.
Game?
Yeah, so that's what you're calling for. You're calling for a massive Jenga game to occur.
Yeah.
Somewhere along the line, somebody's going to pull that thread. That's going to unravel the entire...
whole brick building falls down.
The whole building falls down, right? One thing, boom. Oh, gosh. That's what you're...
You lose.
Yep.
But you don't lose. Everybody loses. That's the difference between that game and reality. Yeah, it's absolutely, you can just see it coming.
Things, I mean, we hearken back just to the Kospi chart.
Yeah, well, that's a good example.
That's,
you know, that's driven by memory. This memory thing, I mean, I've invested in these memory companies every so often. And, you know, it's a business that is pretty stable. The fact that it went unstable, that the memory business has gone on, so you can't even buy memory for your own computer anymore because of the you know, the craziness of it, is going to be an oversupply of memory. And then when they pull the brick out, The memory business is going to be the first thing and the worst thing to collapse. And all these companies, I'm talking about Samsung, all of them. Micron, it would be the good short. That'd be a killer.
Micron was up 18% today at $1 trillion again.
Yeah,
$1 trillion they hit today.
This is memory, people. It's not. It's just the it's ludicrous.
Micron stock was up 19% today. Look, this is pretty amazing. Do you want to take year to date? Do you want to take a guess of how much Micron, which, do you remember, two questions. First, I'll say how much it was up this year to date in percent. Second, who was the famous, and I thought it was famous, I'll go so far as give you the full hint, talk show host that was always loving Micron, and he became like the poster child of Micron.
Jim Cramer?
Nope.
Who?
Regis Philbin.
Ah, Regis Philbin.
Loved Micron. He would get on different shows and stuff,
and
I don't know
what. Tells you everything you need to know.
Micron, he would talk about Micron. How much do you think it's up year to date? And then I'll go one step further. How much is up?
I haven't looked at it recently because I'm not. It's sickening, so I'm going to guess 300%.
185% year to date.
No, I was low.
How about 1 year?
300.
829.
What?
829%.
That's great. Yeah, this is bullcrap. There's no way that company is. This is a high flyer. These guys have got to be looking at their own stock saying, oh my God, how are we going to get out of this while we can and without drawing attention to ourselves?
Stock's been around since 1986.
If
you bought the stock in 1986, it was 49 cents a share. It's up 71,570%.
That's a good investment.
But you go all the way to, let's kind of go here. Yes, it did go up over time. From 1986, it was basically under $5 until 2008. Then it was kind of started to climb. Then it was $5 again in 2012. 2016, it was $15, dipped down to $10 again in late 2016. Finally started moving, hit as high as $125 in 2024. Since the low of April 11th, 2025. April, it's almost a year. The low in that cycle that went up and down, it was $69. It's now $895 a share.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's silly. But good for them. I'm glad.
Great for them. Great for them. It's awesome.
These guys have been sitting on this thing forever, and it's about time somebody got the payout. But I'm telling you, if I was one of the directors or had a lot of Micron stock, I would be hoping I'm not have to declare it, but I would try to get out. I'd sneak out of it. But it could double again.
Yeah, but right, doubling's nothing compared to what 71,000%.
No, I know. But still, it could double again.
Yeah.
So, but
it's breathtaking. Breathtaking.
It's ridiculous. Let's face it. It's ridiculous.
Well, the reason is, let's talk about that, because I kind of got some things on this, and the reasons on this, it's chips. So Micron topped $1 trillion market cap. The stock surged as UBS tripled its price target from $5.35 to $16.25, citing a long-term agreement opportunities with partially fixed pricing. They say, we believe the market will start to put more normal multiples on the stock, and MU will continue to re-rate higher, more normal.
Yeah, after it gets to 1,600.
Right, yeah, exactly. And then you look at what's gone on here and what's happening. It's the big issue right now is that they're looking at all the chips are going to be every single chip in the world is going to be necessary to power all that's going on. Yeah, Agentic is starting to come in, and CPUs and Nvidia is also selling the CPUs amongst their other things that they're selling, but because of the Agentics, and that's becoming where, you know, I guess the difference is phase one of AI is ask a question and get a stupid answer out of it. That was phase one, right? But it was an answer. Phase two is ask a question, get a thinking and thoughtful answer that maybe makes sense and, you know, it could do a little bit of reasoning, maybe. No, I'm not saying it's there. You'll argue with that too. Then third is
not really.
Just let AI just do its thing. Just let it just go. You know what I mean? Just have at it. And that's where, like, Anthropic, by the way, where they come into place, where they're talking about how, you know, there is a problem, there's a potential reckoning that's going to happen. So let's see, Anthropic. Co-founder of AI company Anthropic on Monday, yesterday, said the development of artificial intelligence cannot be left solely to the technology companies. He was actually meeting with the Pope in the Vatican. He said, urging greater oversight from religious leaders. And by the way, right after that, the Pope made a whole speech on why AI needs to be regulated.
Yeah, yeah.
Not that.
It harkens back to the Catholic Church and their attitude toward Galileo and Copernicus. Or as I'm concerned, I would butt out.
Yeah. I mean, science.